East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Morning session number 1, Christ Lives in Me. Message number 3, Living and Walking by the Spirit.
Yeah, it's on now. That's it. It's on now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's turn to today's message. It's Today's message is morning session number 3. Let's read the subject of the whole training and also this morning's message. Christ lives in me. One more time. Christ lives in me. Okay, this morning's living and walking by the Spirit. One more time.
Living and walking by the Spirit.
Yeah, if you notice that this subject covers the verse that we pray read, which is Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So here we see both the living and the walking. Maybe you can read chapter 5, that's Friday's verses, verse 16. There we also see this matter of walking. But I say, let's read together, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. One more time. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Very good. So this morning we are covering the living and the walking. This is in chapter 5. Of course, last night we covered the message, which is chapter 1, God's Son revealed in us. Amen. And tonight we will cover Christ lives in us. Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Christ lives in me.
Amen.
And Tuesday morning we cover receiving the Spirit, which is in chapter 3. And yesterday morning, we covered the promise of the Spirit, which is also in chapter 3. So we are going on from chapter 1 this morning to chapter 5. This message, in fact, living and walking, is based on the previous chapters. You know, in chapter 1, Paul said, it pleases God to reveal his Son in me. Then chapter 2, he said, Christ lives in me. Then in chapter 3, there's a turn. There's a turn there. But before I mention that, let me just go back to the verse we pray-read this morning, that if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This word live means also to have life, and live. How many of you were in the training, the summer training? Raise your hand. Oh, good. So quite a few. In the training, we cover a verse which is the banner of God's eternal economy, which is Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And that verse tells us that the faith that the righteousness of God is revealed out of faith and to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall have life and live by faith. You know, the summer training is concerning the gospel of God. And the structure of the gospel of God, there are three main items. The first is the righteousness of God. And the second is the life of Christ. And the third is the faith, our faith. So there in Romans 1:17, it mentions the righteous shall have life and live by faith. And that's the identical original Greek word. That's what we pray-read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. So to live by the Spirit is to have life and live by the Spirit. So we all, when we believe in the Lord, we have received the divine life into us. And this life coming into us is for us to live. When we believe in the Lord, when I believe in the Lord, you know, I receive the Lord Jesus into me. Then Christ come into me, which is, you know, chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Galatians. Christ revealed in me, and Christ lives in me. But when it comes to chapter 3, there's a turn, which is from a turn from Christ to the Spirit. If you see the heading, the scripture reading, it starts with the Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, about receiving the Spirit. You know, Paul was very strong in chapter 3. The memory verses, I know some of you try to memorize all the verses, right? In chapter 3, he mentioned that, this only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith? But if you read before this verse, it says, foolish Galatians. I don't know whether you ever sit in a meeting and the brother said, foolish brothers or foolish sisters. Never, right? But Paul was very burdened here concerning the Galatians. You know, there were churches in Galatia raised up by Paul. And now the churches in Galatia are in a situation. It burdens Paul so much that he has to rebuke them, telling them, foolish Galatians, did you receive the Spirit out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith? Then later on, there was another verse. God is bountifully supplying to you the Spirit. Amen. This morning, we are here receiving the Spirit. Amen. You know, the verse doesn't say God has supplied you the Spirit. That means in the past. Or God will supply you the Spirit. No. The verse tells us God is bountifully supplying to you the Spirit. Amen. So even this moment, we are here receiving the Spirit. Amen. You know, to live. Let me come back to this matter of living, to live by the Spirit. You know, this live is also the same word that in John chapter 6, verse 57, the Lord said, as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me will also live because of me. So when we eat something, you know, every one of us were sitting here well, right? Why? Breakfast, right? Anybody didn't eat breakfast? Everybody ate breakfast, right? So we are here, well, because we have eaten something. So our Christian life, we need to eat something. We need to eat the Lord. Then we live the Lord. But there's another aspect, you know, the food inside of us is supplying us. But he says, not only that, live by the Spirit, but also walk by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit in the Greek is the same word as wind and the breath. So for us to live, on one hand, the food we eat, breakfast, supplies us. On the other hand, we are constantly being supplied by the fresh air that sustains us, that keeps us living, right? You can starve for a couple of days, but can you stop breathing? You'll be over, right? So we're going to constantly receive the Spirit. And God is supplying us the Spirit. You know, Paul was so burdened that because the Galatians, they were being pulled back, you know, from after they believed in the Lord. There were some, they were persuading them to go back to the law. Law was given in the Old Testament. Law has its function, you know. And also in Galatians, they mention why the law was given. It was added because of transgression, because man fell. But man didn't know their situation, so God gave them the law in order to expose them. But the law in the Old Testament, it was after the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, when they came to the Mount Sinai, the Mount of God, and God gave them the law. Think about it. The children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. They were all slaves in Egypt. Such a group of people. They came out of Egypt. They had the Passover, right? They came out. what would you see when they come out if you are on an airplane, see this, you know, group of people, 2 million people coming out of Egypt? Are they, you know, walking, you know, in a very regulated way? I don't believe so. I think it may be like a ball game, you know. When the ball game is over, right? Everybody come out. So God has to give them, God has to give them the law. So eventually, the Old Testament, two things speaks concerning the Old Testament. That is the law and the prophets. Last night we saw that the Lord took Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was transfigured, and there was Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. So Old Testament, God used the law and the prophets. So his people, eventually, they became not just a kind of a, you know, a mob, but rather they were very much regulated and even became a nation. You know, when they came out of Egypt, God had a view concerning them. And God said, this is my army, you know. And they truly were God's army, you know. They marched through the wilderness, eventually enter and conquer the good land. And they established the kingdom, they built up the temple. So the law has its function in the Old Testament. But, you know, according to the New Testament, there are four periods, you know. That is from Adam to Moses. This is in the Romans. From Adam to Moses, then from Moses to Christ, then from Christ to the Christ is represent the New Testament age, the age of grace. Then there's the age of the kingdom. Then there's eternity future. Then there's eternity past. So the law has its function, but at the time, the law was given only temporarily. But God's purpose is not with the law. Amen. God's purpose is to usher in something which is totally different from the Old Testament. That is, God wants, in the Old Testament, even the law was given, it was still the old creation. But God wants to gain something out of the old creation, a new creation. Amen. And that is, you know, what Galatians eventually we see, that eventually, that Paul told the Galatians, neither circumcision is anything nor uncircumcision. But what matters is a new creation. Amen. The new creation, you know, is just also the picture on the Mount of Transfiguration that not Moses, not Elijah, but Christ and Christ only. Amen. And we should hear him. So today, what God wants is, God wants all of us to be his new creation. Amen. You know, this is something totally different from the Old Testament. That's why Paul was so burdened to bring these Galatians, you know, out of the Old Testament and to remain in the New Testament. Amen. And this all depends on the Spirit. That's why, you know, before this, we see that in chapter 3, once Paul touches the matter of the Spirit, he was so burdened, he was even rebuking the Galatians, right? Foolish Galatians. So today, all of us, we have received the Spirit.
Amen.
And then Paul, you know, in chapter 5, he tells them, 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. So today, our living should be a matter of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit is just the triune God, consummated to be the Spirit. So Old Testament, you walk by the law, or you walk by the instruction of the prophets. But in the New Testament, it's entirely a matter of the Spirit. Amen. So today we have to receive the Spirit.
Amen.
God is supplying the Spirit, and we need to receive the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why Paul said twice, you know, walk by the Spirit. Of course, this word, walk, it has two meanings. Paul used two different Greek words. In verse 16, and verse 25. And that will be Roman numeral 3 in the outline. But I won't touch that. I will just touch the matter of the Spirit. Today, we daily need the Spirit.
Amen.
And we need to touch the Spirit. We need to receive the Spirit. You know, for the morning time, you have a wonderful time. But after morning, after your morning revival, you know, what you do, right? All of us, some situation comes up in school, you know, then we back to ourselves. We're back to our old Adam. Yes, in Christ, you know, we are victorious, but in old Adam, we just fell, right? So we need to keep receive the Spirit. And the one way is that we need to call on the Lord all the time.
Amen.
Calling is something very precious, because calling is help us to receive the Spirit all the time.
Amen.
We doesn't need to be interrupted. That's why the first kind of walk, which is in verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. This kind of walk is a kind of general walk. It's for us to receive the Spirit. And this Spirit, when we receive, enjoy this Spirit, and you will have kind of issue. That issue is the fruit of the Spirit, which is, you know, maybe we can read the yellow sheet in verse 22. How about sisters, verse 22, and the brothers, 23. Sisters.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
Brothers. Meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, when we enjoy the Spirit, when we receive the Spirit, automatically in your living there will be something called love, but it's not your love. You know, we see people, you know, they love one another. Parents love the children, you know, the siblings love one another. That love is our natural love, but here the love is the fruit of the Spirit. It's different from our natural love. Our natural love does not last long. You may love a person. The more you love a person, eventually, the more you hate a person. When you don't love him, or when you don't love her, then you hate the person. But the divine love in us is different. The divine love, you know, it's kind of like a glove, you know. A glove looks like a hand. But once you squeeze it, it doesn't look anything, right? So our love is like that. Our love, unless we have the hand enter into the glove, our love doesn't last long. So what God wants to give us is not just created us in his image, but also God wants to come into us, and God wants to fill us, that eventually that there will be the fruit of the Spirit. You know, there is a saying that an apple a day keeps the doctors away, right? So we have to eat fruits. And I read, you know, the Cancer Society has another statement. That is, if you eat 5 fruits, and you're going to keep the cancer away, 5 fruits. But for us Christians, you know, what we need is we need to eat the fruit of the Spirit. What happened when you keep what?
Keep the cancer away.
Keep the cancer away. The cancer within, right? It's more than that. Keep the devil away.
Yeah.
In fact, not only to keep the devil away, you know, one of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, is love, joy, peace, right?
Yeah.
This time we had the Gospel of God, and one of the items of the Gospel of God is the gospel of peace.
Amen.
The gospel of peace. And our brother mentioned that the God of peace will crush the devil under your feet.
Amen.
So when we enjoy the Spirit, then when we enjoy this fruit, Satan is under our feet.
Amen.
So we need to every day, you know, enjoy, spend time with the Lord. And also we need to build up the habit to call on the Lord. And then we'll enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. And then, you know, the devil will be crushed.
Amen.
At the end, I just want to mention that this method of to walk by the Spirit is not just for our personal benefit, for our, you know, for us to have a health, lovely or healthy family life, church life. In fact, this method that is concerning the second kind of walk. This second kind of walk is for the fulfilling of God's purpose.
Amen.
So when we walk by the Spirit, God's purpose is fulfilled.
Amen.
And that's why, you know, after chapter 5, we see in chapter 6, there's the matter of the Israel of God, which is, you know, God's Israel that fulfills, the Israel in the Old Testament fulfilled God's purpose. The New Testament Israel, which is the real Israel, we are the Israel of God. We are here to fulfill His purpose.
Amen.
You know, and this is the also the new creation. The new creation fulfills God's purpose.
Amen.
And the main item of the new creation is the new man.
Amen.
And today, we are part of the new man.
Amen.
God, you know, the old man failed God. But God today, He wants to gain a new man.
Amen.
And today, as the sons of God, which is covered in chapter 4 of Galatians, they are the components of the New Testament, new man,
Amen.
To fulfill God's purpose.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to constantly enjoy the Spirit,
Amen.
Receive the Spirit, then we can live a normal Christian life,
Amen.
To have the first kind of walk, and also we are here to fulfill God's purpose, which is the second kind of walk.
Amen.
Amen. I'll stop here.
Can I get the mic?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Have you received the Spirit?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if we receive the Spirit, we better walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So this morning, how about, this is not a theological anything, but we will encounter these two kinds of walk a few times, and so I'm just going to present these two kinds of walk by the Spirit in from a certain layer, certain kind of angle, and then as we encounter these in the ministry and in the church life again and again, the Lord will keep showing us something. But don't have the thought this morning to kind of master this topic and understand it and then be able to, you know, just feel good about understanding it. I don't understand it, right? But we're gradually seeing these two different walks. So these two different walks are revealed in two different verses. How about we all recite Galatians 5:16? Go. Right. And so that word for walk is, am I spelling this right in the outline? Peripateo. Do you see it in the Roman numeral 2a, 3a? Peripateo. Now let's all recite Galatians 5:25.
If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
There. Okay, how about all the, let's all read Roman numeral 3 together. Because God is purposeful and seeks to reach His goal, He charges us to have two kinds of walk by the Spirit, the walk that builds up a proper daily living, and the walk in line with the divine rules and principles to reach the goal established by God. Okay, how about brothers, you stand up and read A, 1, 2, and 3. Well, you read A, and sisters, you read 1, 2, and 3. Go, brothers.
The first kind of walk by the Spirit, the peripateo, mentioned by Paul in Galatians 5:16, is the daily, ordinary, regular walk in which we are one spirit with the Lord. It means to move, to devour oneself, to act in ordinary daily life.
Right.
Implying a common, habitual daily walk.
Amen. Okay, sisters?
In Galatians
Amen.
Whatever we are, whatever we do, and whatever we have will be by the Spirit as our essence.
Amen. How about brothers, you read three. You can sit though. If we would have Amen.
We need to pray and call on the name of the Lord unceasingly and continually.
All right. So this first walk is give me some words to put in this column that I can associate with peripateo, which okay. Daily. Ordinary. Common. Well, hold on. Okay. Habitual. Unceasing. That's good. Lee. Regular. Normal. Amen. Continually. Okay. Spontaneously. I'm out of board. Okay, well, that's good enough. General. Okay, fine. You can say general. Praise the Lord. This is and I like this word walkabout. It's somewhere in the outline. I know that's like an Australian term. Walkabout. Isn't that in the outline? Maybe it was in my other sheets. Anyway, it's just this kind of a walk. It's just general. It's daily. It's normal. I don't feel so excited right now. Nothing's getting done. I'm just walking around because I've received the Spirit. And now I have the Spirit as a realm in which I can walk in my daily life. It's not Yahoo. Look at all the things I'm getting done today. Look at all this powerful activity coming out of me. It's just a walk by the Spirit. Peripateo. This is peripateo. How do we peripateo? Oh, Lord Jesus, right? And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's just, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you. I give you this one day. I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm just going to walk by the Spirit, minding just the Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's peripateo is a walk in which we just enjoy the Lord, and we walk around in the Lord, we enjoy Him, we keep receiving the Spirit, but it's normal. It's every day. Peripateo. Mark told me when he heard this, you heard it on the radio or something? Where did you hear it? Anyway, pair of potatoes. So you can remember it that way. Pair of potatoes. Potatoes are normal. They're ordinary. They're common. Common potatoes. They're general. Peripateos. Anyway, the peripateo is the normal walk. Walk by the Spirit, you will by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then eventually in verses 22 and 23, that's why it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, these are just normal, daily fruits. Self-control. Love. Loving kindness. So, this is the first kind of walk. Praise the Lord. Now, what about this second kind of walk? How about the brothers you read, or sisters you read B, brothers you read 1 and 2. Can you stand up? Sisters, the Greek word. Okay, brothers 1 and 2. If we would
have the second kind of walk by the Spirit, the walk for the fulfillment of God's purpose, we need to learn to walk by the Spirit as our way, rule, and principle.
Amen.
The immediate pathway towards our soul is the process triune God as the life-giving Spirit. He alone should be the principle, the rule, the path according to which we shall walk.
Amen. Okay, give me some more words for stoicheo.
Regulated.
Orderly. Organized. Is organized in there? I don't know if I can take organized. Sorry. Purposeful. I got regulated. Purposeful. Commissioned. I'll put commission. Commissioned. In line. Ranked. Or, I don't know. Ranked. Militarily. Coordinated. Okay. Amen. So in the Bible, you know how different words in Greek, in English, we'll just have one word. Like, we have one word for life. How many Greek words are there for life? What are they? Starting from the... Okay. Bios, suke, zoe, right? You have the physical life, the biological life, the psychological life, and then the divine life. Well, it's the same with this word walk. We have a word, walk, and it's rendered walk, but in the Greek, this word walk, whenever you see it in the word, it refers to a kind of a corporate, regulated, orderly, purposeful walk. And what the Bible reveals is that we need two kinds of walk by the Spirit. Not just the ordinary daily walk, the habitual, everyday, regular, normal, continual walkabout, general walk, but we also need the second walk, which is regulated, orderly, purposeful, in cadence. We're marching towards God's goal. And so actually, Galatians 5:25, say it to me one more time. If we
walk by the Spirit.
Yeah. Let us, yeah. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. And that live by the Spirit in Galatians 5:25 is actually the same sense as peripateo. Well, what it really means is, if we peripateo, let's also stoikeo. If we have this kind of walk, let's also have this kind of walk. And the two kinds of walk are both required. So we are charged by God to have two kinds of walk. The first walk builds up a proper, normal daily life. A proper daily living. Saints, we need a proper daily living. A walk by the Spirit. And the second kind of walk is a walk to reach the goal established by God and fulfill His purpose. Okay. You got the two words? Peripateo, peripatetos, and stoikeo. So, what's the application? Well, saints, we just need both kinds of walk. Now, in the church life, in a sense, this stoikeo is something to reach God's goal. So this would be the new man. This would be the taking the new creation as our goal. This would be practicing the church life. And so we have a lot of activity on this side, right? But we also need to build up a normal daily living. So what this means is these two walks are very closely related. In fact, it's not either or. It's not first A, then B. There's a lot of overlap. But in the church life, as a young person, you need to learn this. You got to take care of your peripateo. You got to take care of the normal daily walk. In a sense, what we're doing here and what we do a lot of the times is we're involved in a lot of stoikeo. The church life is a lot of stoikeo. We're together. We're carrying things out. We're having meetings. We're sharing. We're prophesying, right? We're doing things. Even we're preaching the gospel, right, Juan? We're going places. We're writing tracts. We're giving out tracts. We're bringing our friends here and there. It's a lot of activity to carry out the church life. But that activity needs to be hand in hand with peripateo, a normal, proper daily living. Which means that we have to build this up. Oh, Lord Jesus, a life of receiving the Spirit in a normal way. It's when I was young, we just wanted to make a big splash and do big things and speak big high words and affect people and have big, you know, all kinds of people getting saved. But we've learned, because the Bible says, all this requires a normal daily living. And if you're not a person who enjoys the Lord and is receiving the Spirit, you will not be able to carry out the church life. You won't be able to live the new man. You won't be able to practice the church life at all, because it requires this kind of a daily living. American mythology, but you know, we have cultural stories and things, and they always involve these kind of desperate cases where these guys are like passed out in a bar or something, drooling, and then they find the guy and they're like, "Jim, we need you to fly the plane," you know, or something, and he pulls it all together for this last heroic act, you know, and he's like, okay, you know, dunks his head in some water, and he pulls it all together, and he's the hero. Well, that is totally not the way God's economy works, right? We'd like it to work like that. We'd like to just be total slobs, and we never enjoy the Lord. We never walk by the Spirit. We haven't built up this daily living, and then all of a sudden we get the call, "Hey, Micah, you know, Dennis Cooley got sick. We need you to come and deliver the message." Micah's like, you know, and he's driving over here. "Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I can call on the Lord 30 times before I get there." And, well, saints, no way. Because the stoicheo is upon the peripateo. Everything we do in the church life requires the normal, daily walking by the Spirit. Even preaching the gospel. Eventually you'll realize, if you don't enjoy the Lord, if we don't receive the Spirit continually in a normal way, in a habitual way, we really can't expect the Lord to do that much in a, you know, in a special way, right? So we have to learn this lesson. And praise the Lord, we're learning it, right? Just to have morning revival, just to be in the church life, just to get on the phone with your companions and eat the verses and call on the Lord every day, you may feel like, well, man, I wish I could migrate to Charlottesville. I wish I could go to Russia. I wish I could go to Africa. I wish I could be in India. Well, saints, give it time. Because when we have this kind of walk, eventually we can have this kind of walk. And what the Lord is doing among us is he wants us to build up this normal, daily, granola, bananas. It's not exciting, right? I'm not going to put granola and bananas on that column. But eating breakfast every day is not a cause to celebrate. It's just healthy. We just walk by the Spirit in that way. Oh, Lord Jesus. We don't expect goosebumps or tingly feelings when we call on the Lord. We just walk by the Spirit. And we do it every day. We eat the Word every day. We build up a prayer life every day. It becomes something habitual and normal. And then we can be regulated. We can be orderly. We can march towards God's goal. And we need both kinds of walk. Amen? I had a friend in high school. Some of us brothers got kind of turned. We started preaching the gospel. And okay, we need to pursue the Lord. So we're, and this brother, he was a church kid like the rest of us. He said, no, I'm gonna stay in the world. That's exactly what he said. I'm gonna stay in the world. Y'all run along and have a good time, you know. And we said, okay. But he said, he knew a little bit of prophecy. You know, he knew something about the Lord's coming back. So he said, brothers, once that temple gets built, though, I'll be coming back. And I'll join right in there with you, you know. And we thought, all right, you know. But saints, do you think that's really going to happen? Do you think this brother, this dear brother, he's been sowing to the flesh for the last 20 years. Do you think that, you know, if some signs happen that indicate the Lord is nearer, do you think he's just going to be able to take that off like a coat and be in the Lord's army? What do you think? That's what the movies tell us. That's what the books tell us. You know, it's just like, You know, well, I'm back. You know, tell me what to do. It doesn't work like that. The Lord really needs us, while we're young, to build up the peripateo, the normal, the unexciting, the proper, habitual, daily walk by the Spirit, which, as Brother Timothy said, is just to call on the Lord's name all day and pray unceasingly. He is bountifully supplying to us the Spirit. Amen. Well, how about we have some time for response? We still have 20 minutes. And